for many years, ben kesel la'asar, I was zeiche to attend the Tshuva Drushas of Moran HaRav Soloveitchik Zatzal. So I'm going to share with you this evening one of the yesodos, one of the fundamental principles that he enunciated in the course of a Tshuva Drusha many, many years ago. The Mishnah writes in Maseches Yoma, a Mishnah that's well known to us. The Mishnah presents a Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshins a pasuk, and Rabbi Akiva essentially presents his position on the matter. But prior to that, the Mishnah tells us something very striking. Item number one in the right hand corner: Avera shebet adam lamakom Yom Kippur mechaper. We know that Yom Kippur offers kapara, offers penance for averus between an individual and Hashem Yisbarach. Averus shebin adam mechavero en yom kippurim mechaper at sheiratzes chavero. However, for ben adam mechavero, that requires ritzui. One has to appease, one has to, in effect, propitiate one's friend in order to achieve kapara. Dara shabalozim ben Azariah. And this pasuk can be read in one of two different ways. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah read it in light of what we just saw in the Mishnah. Mikol chatosechel matnei Hashem titaru. The pasuk is read the way Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah understands it. From all the chatoim matnei Hashem, namely bein adam lamakom titaru, one is able to achieve kapara. So therefore, darshins Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, aver shebein adam lamakom yom kippur mechaper. However, if the chet is not lifnei Hashem, but the chet is bein adam mechavero, ein yom kippur mechaper ad sheiratz es chavero. Rabbi Akiva then presents what seems to be a different kind of position, namely, Ashrechem Yisrael, Livnei atem mitarim, umi mitayer eschem, avichem shem ha-shamayim, shenema, v'zorakti alechem mayim tarim, mitahartem, mikveh Yisrael Hashem, ma mikveh mitaris atzmeim, av HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaris Yisrael. So Rabbi Akiva seems to take the position that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cleanse us of all our sins, including those that take place by Adam Mechavero. He doesn't make the distinction that is drawn Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah based on his reading of the pasuk. Bikol chatosecha lifnei Hashem. Only those chatoyim lifnei Hashem will one achieve tahara. Rabbi Akiva, across the board, assumes that based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, that the Ribbono Shel Olam will cleanse us of all our sins. There's a Mishnah, an item number two, left hand corner, upper left hand corner, in Baba Kama. It's a famous Mishnah. The first Mishnah, Achayvel, tells us, Hachevel b'chaveru chai b'chamisha dvorim, nezek tzar ribu sheves boshes. All the monetary restitution that's required for a person who's chayvel b'chaveru. And the last Mishnah, Achayvel, tells us the following. Avo b'shu neisen, though, even though I provided the aggrieved party with monetary restitution, ein nimcha lo at sheyevakesh yimenu. That's not sufficient. The Mishnah tells us, if chas v'shalom, I strike someone, and even though I paid off all my obligations, all the five categories of payment, I still remain unforgiven until a person asks for pardon. Shenemar, and the Mishnah then goes ahead, tells us, how do we know? Im lo mochalo shu achzori. First, the Mishnah quotes the pasuk, Hoshev eshes ha'ish from Avimelech. Avimelech was not pardoned for having taken Sarah to his palace. He asked Avram to pardon him and to daven for him. So this Mishnah tells you that if one does not do so, if one does not grant mechila, one is achzori shenemar vayispal Avram elokim vayirpo elokim es Avimelech. The Torah tells us that as a result of the fact that Avimelech asked Avram Avinu for pardon, so Avram Avinu responded affirmatively, and as a result Avimelech was healed. So our Soloveitchik asked an obvious question, which is already raised by Rishonim, namely, why is there a need for seemingly two Mishnayos that duplicate each other? It's true that the language used in the Mishnah in Yuma is slightly different than the language in the Mishnah in Achayvel. Mishnah in Achayvel speaks about Mechila. The Mishnah in Yuma speaks about the idea of Ritzui. But because of the ideas are more or less identical, very similar in nature. Why the need for two Mishnayos? So many have already suggested, this is already found in the Chavos Yoyer, it's found in Prima Godim, it's found in a number of Svarim, that they suggest a novel interpretation. The Mishnah in Baba Kama speaks about obligations to ask for mechila for transgressions ben adam chavero.
Hachayv v'chaveiro. Chayv v'chamisha dvarim. And the Mishnah tells us there's also an obligation to ask for a mechila. The Mishnah in Yoma tells us that if a person does not appease the aggrieved party, then your kippah does not atone. And that Mishnah tells you, not only does it not atone for the transgression b'adam l'chavero, but even transgressions between adam l'amokom, the lack of appeasement between the perpetrator and the one wrong prevents the former from receiving atonement in both situations. Which means that the b'adam l'chavero will not, in effect, reach the ultimate atonement. At what level? Not only at the level of Be'adam L'chavero, but Be'adam L'chavero is also impacted by as well. That's a massive chiddush. But let's just put that aside for a moment and look at the two Rambams. The Rambam cites both Mishnayos. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, in a rather lengthy piece, maybe we'll read first the Rambam in Chovel U'Mazik. Take a look at item number four. The Rambam here more or less expresses what the Mishnah tells us. The Rambam codifies that Mishnah. Eino dom mazik chavero begufo lemazik mamono. Sha mazik mamo chavero, when person causes damage to someone else's property, kevin sheshile mashuchai l'shalom miskapelo. Once you provide a monetary restitution, that's sufficient to achieve expiation. Abel chav abel chavero, if a person strikes his friend, chas v'sholom, abel mishenosim l'chamish adorim, eino miskapelo. Afilo hikriv kol eilin nevoyos, eino miskapelo, v'lo nimchal avono, the Rambam says that without asking for mechila, one will not achieve any level of kapara. And of course, the Rambam goes on in Halacha Yud to say, "V'asal the nechbal liot achzori below yimchol ein zol derach zera Yisrael elokem shabigi shemenu achivah v'nischanin lo pam mishena ushnia biyada shushav mecheto v'nicham haraaso yimchol." Of course, the person should grant mechila, should do so willingly, even though the person is aggrieved. So the Rambam here told us, more or less, articulated the Mishnah in Baba Kama and Achevel, there's a need for Mechila, and the Rambam tells us as well, one should not be Achzori, also a citation from the Mishnah in Baba Kama, and this is the din of Mechila. Now one takes a look at Hilchos Tshuva, item number three. Here the Rambam is much more Marich, and the language of the Rambam is incredibly prolix, and there's what to be Medayik in this Rambam, many, many diukim. The Rambam writes here in Halacha Tes, Perek Beis, Hilchos Tshuva, Ein HaTshuva V'Loyim HaKippur Mechaprim, Tshuva Yom Kippur Don't Atone, El Aver Shevedad Namokom, between man and man. Gugomi Shochal Dava Asr, Obal Bilo Asur V'Chayitzavayim, Aval Aver Shevedad Mechabero, an Aver between man and man. The other Aver, of course, is between man and God, someone who ate Machol Sasuros, or Chas V'Sholom was involved in some sort of sexual promiscuity. So then, Tshuva and Yom Kippur is going to be Mechaper. But if the Aver is Be'adam Mechaper, or Gona Chobel is Chaper, or Mechal Chaper, or Gozo, God forbid someone curses his friend, or engages in thievery, V'chayotzuvem, and Unimcha lo'olam, Ha'chitin l'chaper, Ma'ashuchay, lo v'ratzeil. That's not sufficient to go ahead and simply provide monetary restitution, but rather it requires ritzel, appeasement. The Rambam goes on. Abu b'she'echzel o'mam, Ma'ashuchay, lo tzarech le'ratzeisei, you have to literally be meratze the person. The term ritzoi generally is translated as appeasement. You have to try to propitiate and to ask the person for mechila. Even if you only verbally agree the individual, you have to continue to press him to give you mechila. Then the Rambam quotes a striking din. That if the person does not want to give you mechila, you try to find three of his closest acquaintances, if they are not able to be the go-between successfully, you do it a second time, a third time, if the person after the third time does not want to grant you mechila, so then he's the one who essentially is the guilty party. It's a Rebbe, you have to go even 1,000 times. And then the Rambam continues, as he said in a similar vein, in Chovel U'Mazik. It shouldn't be cruel and not be willing to grant pius. As the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, the Bishosh and Mavakish Shemena Achay Delimcho, Mochel B'Leif Sholim B'Nefesh Chafetza. You should do so with a full heart. Give the person mechila peheitza lo v'chata lo harbe. Even though the person may have caused you enormous amount of agras nefesh. Lo yikom lo yitor. Don't engage in revenge. Nekima netira. V'zehu darakam shazara yisrael v'libim mandochon. Avalaakum ar lelei v'enon kein. Goyim are not that way. Ela v'yabrosan shomo netzah. V'chein ome ala givayim v'fishol amachol om nispaisu v'agivayim lom neisrael heimah. And then Ram quotes another aloch in Yud Aleph. Let's say the person, God forbid, individual that you caused grief to, died. Maybe Asar ben Yodim Aminu al Kibro. Incredible halacha. You bring 10 people by the person's kever. The Yomer b'fneim Chotosi Lashem Elokei Yisrael b'leploni. The Chet, fascinating, as the Rambam says, and I mentioned a moment ago, the Chavisar and the Pribe Godim and others who contend that even the Chet b'Adam b'Chavero is also, you're striking. And this is reflected here in this language. Not only did you sin to that individual, but to Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore the Rambam here has quoted the halacha twice. In Hilchos Tshuva seemingly is a reflection of the Mishnah in Yoma, and the Rambam Mechaber Lamazik is clearly a reflection of the Mishnah at the end of Achovel. There are several questions that can be posed regarding the Rambam. Question number one, the obvious one, namely, why did the Rambam find it necessary to reformulate a halacha in Chavul Mazik? You already codified in Hilchos Tshuva. The duplication seems to be unnecessary. Question number two. Look in the Lashon of the Rambam in Chavul Mazik. There he uses the terminology of the Mishnah of Baba Kama, namely the terminology of Mechila. The language of the Rambam is terse. He speaks constantly on Mechila, but in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam is far more prolix, far more elaborate, and the language of the Rambam is markedly different. The language of the Rambam here, he speaks a lot about, he uses Lashonos of Ritzui, Lashonos of Pius, Lashonos of Al Tifkubi, Lashon of Pigia, Pei Gimel, Yud Ayin Hei. Very different Lashonos than the Rambam utilized in Chavul Mazik. What exactly is the Rambam getting at? Beyond that, the Rambam concludes this parak of the fascinating halacha that I mentioned here in the end of the Rambam, where he says, if Chas V'Shalom, the grieved party died before he was able to grant you forgiveness, so the Rambam tells you, you have to go to his kever, maybe Asar ben Yodom, u'ma'amidon al kivro, v'yom b'fneim, chatos il Hashem, elokei Yisrael, v'leploni, shekach lekach asisilom. So, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam employs primarily different terminology to describe the process that the person who committed the verbal offense has to undergo in order to obtain forgiveness. Why is the procedure here seemingly more complex than the one that the Rambam describes in Chavul Mazik? There it seems to be a kind of mechila, and here the Rambam seems to be far more elaborate, far more complex, far more a labyrinth that a person has to undergo. That's question number two. Question number three, in Hilchos Chavul Mazik, the Rambam implies that if the injured party did not pardon the offender, that even the Rambam says, afilu hikriv, kol elin devoyos eno miskapelo v'lo nimchaloi. The Rambam there indicates achi yevakish v'na nechbal v'yimchalo. Even if the latter were to offer all the karbanos in the world, he would never attain forgiveness. In Hilchos Tshuva, what does the Rambam say? The person, the offender, takes three friends with him. He asks for pardon three times. If the wrong party still refuses, he's off the hook, so to speak. Why is there a distinction between the two sets of halachas? Why here in Chavul Mazik, the Rambam speaks one way, somehow you'll never obtain forgiveness despite all the karbanos you might bring to the fore. Mashenk in Hilchos Tshuva, here the Rambam clearly indicates three times is sufficient, and if the gentleman who's the aggrieved party refuses to grant you tshuva, as I said, he's now exonerated. Question number four, why only in Hilchos Tshuva does the Rambam quote this fascinating halacha of the offender seeking out 10 people, if the individual already passed on, and bringing them to the kever of the aggrieved party, that the Rambam only mentions Hilchos Tshuva, and does not discuss such a notion in Chavul Mazik. The Marshal, I saw already, notes that the declaration that I mentioned earlier, when a person is at the kever, that you say, Chotosi, Lashem, Elokei Yisrael, v'leploni, we begin by mentioning a sin against Hashem Yisbarach. So it seems that the Marshal also accepts that which I mentioned earlier from the Chavisar, from the Prima Godim, from a number of other Gdoli Achronim, who suggest that a sin against one's fellow human being affects not only my relationship with that particular human being, but essentially also affects my relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in order to resolve these questions, so Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal drew a distinction between the two terms, semantically and therefore conceptually. There's a distinction between the two sets of Mishnayos, between the two Rambams. The term Mechila is a term that we're very familiar with. The term Mechila, actually, pardon, is actually primarily used in the context of, I imagine that's how we generally understand it. Let's use it in a number of different contexts. Number one, the Gemara says, HaMechish Shtar Chol V'Chaveh V'Chazur M'Chol Bochu. That's a famous halacha that the Gemara describes in the Gemara has in Baal Basra. So the Gemara tells us if a person, there's a Malva Velova situation, a person borrowed money, and now I am Meichel Lechov. The Malva is Meichel Lechov. So he can be Meichel Lechov, and the Chov is completely expunged. However, let's say the Malva goes ahead and sells the Shtar Chov for somebody else. Assuming the halva is $500, so usually if you sell it, you sell for $400, and we need the money for whatever reason. And now, even though you sold the chov to somebody else, you transfer the IOU, you transfer the chaybus to another person, then you go ahead, the original malveh, the one who sold the chov, is Michael the chov. He waives the debt. So the question is, how does that work? So there's a famous Avin Tam, quoted by the Rosh Hashanah, quoted by many Rishonim, that there are two shibudim. I'm not going to go into that. That's not my interest right now. There's a shibud l'chosim, there's a shibud l'guf, there's a personal indebtedness that the lover has to the malva, and then at the same time, his property is meshubad, as the Gemara writes all over Shas. In Baal Basra, in Kedushin, in Gittin, in Ksubis, everywhere, the Gemara tells us that there's a shibud on the karka. Once a person borrows money, so there's a lien on your property. If you don't pay back the chov, then he can go down and foreclose. He can go ahead and take the chov from your property. So the Gemara says that when you sell the shtar chov, Lechaveros, so the Rabbi Natan explains, quoted by the Rosh in Ksubis, that in effect, what are you selling? You are selling essentially not the Shibud Aguf, because the Shibud Aguf exists only between you and the Love. That's the relationship that you have with the Love, the person who borrowed the money. So he's Meshubah to you. Piroin Chai Mitzvah, the Gemara says. There's a mitzvah to pay back a Chov. The Tais says a number of times in Shas, is looking for a Makar in Chumash, that Piroin Chai Mitzvah. There is no Makar. It's a Svar. Seems to be fairly obvious. That if you borrow money, you should pay it back. But you can't find a pasuk that says so explicitly. Taisin Becheres and a few other places in Shas, Taisin points this out. So when I sell a shtar chov to a third party, namely, what in effect am I doing? I'm giving him essentially a shibud karka, but not the shibud aguf. Shibud aguf is between myself and the loveh. So that's what I'm being moichel. Okay, that's regarding the yatsam halacha. But the term mechila refers to mechilas chov. I'm moichel the chov. You don't have to pay back. If the Malva wishes to be Malchol the Chov, that the Lover owes him, he certainly can do so. And we also have, the Gemara has in Shabbos and elsewhere, and that's what the Rambam is talking about, the idea of Mechilas Abonos. Mechilas Abonos means that, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave David HaMelech for the Chet of Bathsheba, that's a term that we are probably also quite familiar with, the notion of Mechila. That one can ask for Mechila. So that is the concept of Mechila, which is a formal, juridic, legal kind of terminology the Chazal use in these two contexts, as perhaps another context, but it's not so significant. Now, let's look in Hilchos Tshuva, and let's look in the Mishnah and Yoma. There, the other terms that are being utilized by the Rambam, Pius Haritzui, require a totally different approach. We're talking about appeasing the injured party. First, you have to devise some sort of a strategy and look for an opportune moment where you can go ahead and actually propitiate the individual, and that is a painstaking, rather difficult, challenging kind of endeavor. Chazal speak of, we know that the term Vayigash, which Chazal speak about in three different contexts in Tanakh, Vayigash Elov Yehuda, and we also know the term is found by Leo Hanovi. We're learning actually Melachim now, so that term comes up, and Chazal speak of Hagosha Lepius, Hagosha Letfila, Hagosha Lemelchama, three different places in Tanakh. That's where Chazal speak about it. So, in effect, when you're about to engage in pius, you don't just go over to a person that you aggrieved, let's say for months, for a year, who knows for how long, and think that you're going to say that, go ahead and he begs for mechila, begs for pius, and it's going to happen, 1, 2, 3. That's not the way it works. Hagoshal pius, it requires a fair amount of psychic energy. You have to devise a strategy, how I'm going to go. You have to be, of course, sincere about what you're doing. So pious involves not only the mephayis, the person who has to appease, but the mispayis, the one who has to be appeased. And that's not a simple matter. You may have caused him incredible grief in the course of an extended period of time, and now you think he's just going to verbally be willing to give you pious. The Gemara actually in Nida, I believe the Gemara uses there a lashon of kabbalas piyusim. The Gemara speaks about being makabal piyusim, one who receives appeasement. Pious is a much deeper overture. It's fraught with tension. It's fraught with anguish. It requires enormous amount of hachana, of preparation, till the person is able to engage in this kind of pious. Ritu as well. It's not just a mere kind of gesture, but it's an act of propitiation that requires profound tefillah. It has to come, rachmana libaba, it has to come from the heart. It involves reconciliation. It involves rapprochement. It involves recreating an intimate kind of relationship that you have with that person formally. Ritu and pious can bring about a metamorphosis in a relationship that has gone awry. You can transform an enemy into a friend, but it's a much more difficult, much more challenging kind of process than the process of mechila. Mechila is something which is people do almost in a very flippant kind of fashion. Soloveitchik Zatzal commented that every Yom Kippur he would receive, he'd be inundated with phone calls of people who would ask him for mechila. And he didn't ask them, what exactly did you do in order that he should be able to grant them mechila? No, right away he was meichel them. Miyad. Immediately. Tens and tens of people would call him up. I know a number of people who actually called him, and they called him because they spoke about him disparagingly, b'lashon hamata, being polite. They didn't agree with his hashgofes, they felt he was off the derech, all kinds of things, whatever the case is. And then they asked him for mechila, and right away he would grant the person mechila without difficulty. But you see that these are two different concepts. The concept of mechila is one concept that the Rambam has in Chavul HaMazik, and the concept of pious and ritzui and pegia is a far more difficult, far more wrenching kind of process. So in Hilchos Chavul HaMazik, the Rambam is focusing on the act of injuring someone and the need to rectify that situation. Not only must the offender provide compensation for financial loss, but also has to undoubtedly assuage the other person's hurt, and he does so through the medium, as the Rambam says, of mechila. And the Rambam says over here that you cannot obtain full atonement till you pay compensation, till you ask for mechila. So the Rambam is quite clear that regarding a ched ben od mechavero, as the Mishnah there mentioned, hachelu mechavero, chay bechamisha dvarim, mechila is indispensable in order to achieve kapara. Mechila is a sine qua non. One has to have mechila in order to achieve that kapara, as the Mishnah quoted the psukim. However, here in Hilchos Tshuva, in the first two prokim, the Rambam is focusing not so much on the injury, the Rambam is not focusing on the need for restitution, but rather on the mitzvah of tshuva. Here what has to be rectified is the relationship between the human being and his friend, and as well the human being and Hashem Yisbarach, which has been damaged by the sin of one human being against another. From this perspective, the Rambam tells us that although a pro forma act of mechila may win atonement, it's not enough for tshuva. In order for a person to be zeichet to tshuva, he will require that the guilty party seek out the injured party with words of pious, with words of ritzui. He entreat him to once again become a chaver, become a yadid, become a friend. If necessary, he has to even bring a group of friends with him. And Chazal surely designed this cathartic act of ritzui and pious to purge the individual who's guilty of different types of assault, whether it's physical assault or verbal assault, whatever it may be, the particular chet. So the maskana, hamit bakeshet, of this analysis is that there are tzvei dinim. There's a dialectic over here, which is keseder, the position of the Rambam many, many times. And the Rambam includes this under two different headings. He has two different rubrics. One is in the category of Cheshem Mishpat, torts and damages, that's in Chavul HaMazik, while the other is a part of Hilchos Tshuva. One is a formal, juridic, legal kind of procedure necessary for atonement. The other is a profound, emotional process of a personal reconstruction of one's character, transforming a foe into a friend. That's how the Rambam sees in Hilchos Tshuva. So, very intriguingly, and this is something that always struck my fancy, aroused my pique, the Gemara has on Pezayin in Maseches Yoma, you have it in item number 5, the Gemara tells a whole series of stories that occur dafka on Erev Yom Kippur. Often, the Gemara literally relates a litany of events that occurred in Erev Yom Kippur, where either great Talmidei Chachamim made themselves accessible to the person who caused them grief in order that they should ask them for mechila. They wanted to make it easier for them, to make it to put them in a position where they'll recognize what they have to do, what their obligations are. And the Gemara tells one story after the next. I actually underline here one of the stories, but all these took place dafka on Erev Yom Kippur. The Rishonim, the Rosh in number 7, and the Mordechai in number 8. We'll just read a bit of the Rosh. The Rosh writes here, Maseches Yuma, the following. He says, V'yosim adam elibo Erev Yom Kippurim lefayes kol adam shenota lo eva. That's the obligation, to ask for pious, to appease any person who harbors any kind of hatred towards you. Kidaminon, he quotes one of the stories that the Gemara has in Pesayinim and Beis, and he quotes the second story, and then he quotes from the Pirkei Avolazer, discussed by the Ramban in Chumash as well. Pirkei Avolazer comments that Samuel, who of course is the Malach HaMoves, the Yetzer Hara, the Sodom, so he saw Shalom Tzachet B'Yisrael B'Yom HaKippurim B'Yom HaRibon HaOlamin Yesh Lecha Am Echad K'Malachi HaShores. There's a nation that's likened to the Malachim. Ma Malachi HaShores Yechei Fei Regel Af Yisrael Yechei Fei Regel B'Yom HaKippurim. We don't wear leather foot gear on Yom Kippur. Ma Malachi HaShores Eilem K'fotzim Kach Yisrael Oymim Ragleim B'Yom HaKippurim. Some people stand the entire Yom Kippur. Ma Malachi HaShores Eilem Achilu Shtia Af Yisrael Kem Yom HaKippurim. So the Rosh already tells us that the whole object of Pius Ritzui is in order to create an atmosphere of Shalom Mishalva Vireus and Yom Kippur. The Mordechai has a similar kind of comment. Look in the left hand column, number 8. Minog Levakesh Mechilev Yom Kippur, Kamina Memevish, Shuva Yisrael Yisbrach Shvo, Yisbrach Zichro, Shu Mechabev Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. V'tikulam aseret yimei tshuva, shafil yochid also tshuva v'em, mekabim tshuvasa ke tshuva of the tzibur. If it's a yochid who does tshuva, Hashem accepts it as the tshuva of the tzibur. The fikach tzvichim kol yisrael, lachzir b'tshuva, v'lasa sholom bein ish v'eyu. Also the focus on tshuva, Erev Yom Kippur dafka, as being a vehicle to achieve this kind of Abba v'achva v'sholom v'reyus. V'limchol zeh l'zeh b'erev Yom Kippurim. We want our tefillos to be accepted by Hashem Yisbarach with love, ubishalom. The way to do so is to effect, as I mentioned, a rapprochement, beit ish l're'eyu, and then he quotes a tanchuma to that effect as well, namely, if there's a ktata be'el mechavero, ketzer miskapelom, so then he goes on, imholach l'ratzoso, and the person refused to accept it, he goes through the asar b'nei adam, and in effect, you see that there is a concept, dafka, and Erev Yom Kippur. Now look on the next page, item number 6, in Tov Reish Vav, the Mechaber has an entire chapter heading. She'efayis Adam Chaver, Erev Yom Kippur. What's amazing is that dafka, this concept of pius, is that which takes place in Erev Yom Kippur. What about Mechila? There's no question if a person, Chas V'Shalom, causes someone grief, Bamakom, you have to ask for Mechila. And you have to do so B'mesha Kol Hashana Kula. It's not limited to Erev Yom Kippur. The moment the person, Chas V'Shalom, goes ahead and causes another party grief, there's no question that you're obligated Al Pidin, the Mishnah Bava Kama is applicable. But somehow here, the Mechaber decided to articulate a separate heading. She'ifayis Od Mechaber B'Erev Yom Kippur. Dafke Erev Yom Kippur, that's based on the Sugya and Pezayin Amanal, Pezayin Amanveiz, based on the Rishonim that we just saw in the Rosh of the Mordechai. So the question is, why does this come into focus, Dafke Erev Yom Kippur? Mechila is a concept that's relevant to Lashon HaKula. You have to ask a person for Mechila. The moment the person, Chas V'Shalom, commits any kind of grievance and commits any kind of offense, whatever the nature of the offense is, there's no question, there's an obligation to ask for Mechila. But here, Dafke Erev Yom Kippur, there's such a concept. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal noted something very beautiful on number 9 in the Musa of Yom Kippur. After the avoda, most people don't even notice it. They're so enervated, drain their energy from the avoda, they don't notice actually this very beautiful ending. Al kein brachamecha harabim nasat olonos yom ha-kippurim hazeh. And it lists exactly the essence of Yom Kippur. Es yom mechila sa'obon hazeh, v'sich ha-sa'obon, kaparas pesha. And then we have an itemization of all the isurim. Yom asur b'achila, Yom Asur B'Shtiyah, Yom Asur B'Rechitza, Yom Asur B'Sicha, this we know, the Chamishei Nuyim, Yom Asur B'Tash Shabita, Yom Asur B'Nes HaSandal, and then we have the following statement. a rather striking statement. Yom Simas Ava Vireyus. Yom Azivat Kina V'tachus. A day that essentially the essence of the day is Ava Vireyus, that we should be able to create amity. We should be able to reconcile one with each other. A day that we abandon kina, envy, jealousy, tachrut, the competitive spirit that's primarily designed to undermine or to negate or to repudiate. Wow, what's the makor for this Rambam? Where did he find such an idea for this line actually of the Paitan? Where did he get such a notion? Okay, Rishonim didn't mention it, that's true. But where is it to be found? Where do you see such an idea? So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's apparently what Tov Reish Rav, what the Mechaber has in mind, and what the Rambam has in mind as well, in Hilchos Tshuva. And interesting that there's a rush that I just mentioned a moment ago, where from the rush you see, there are two dinim in Kapar. Rav Soloveitchik said, many shurim are this, many of the Tshuva drushes were devoted to Tshuva v'yochid, Tshuva v'tzibur, and Kapara v'yochid, Kapara v'tzibur, tvei dinim. They're two separate types of Kapara. Each one needs its own framework, its own delineation. But we know there are two types of Kapara. There's a Kapara of every yochid. Each one of us has to achieve Kapara. And there's also a Kapara of the tzibur. A community is more than just a collection of individuals. It's that, but it's also a single entity that's united in love and friendship among the many people who comprise the community. Rav Soloveitchik Hayadua was very Makpin on a Rambam. The Rambam speaks about two types of Shemoneh Esreis, namely the Shemoneh Esrei Belachash, that all of us daven as individuals, as Yechidim, and then that's called Tfilah B'tzibur. Then the Rambam has Tfilah Hatzibur, it's Meduyok, Aloshan Rambam, very Meduyok. That's why the Minig of Asalveitchik, which is my Minig as well, is to stand in Chazar Sashatz, not what the Mechaber says. Mechaber says to stand in Chazar Sashatz, but not with your feet together. But the Rav held that it's a Din Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore requires standing together, with your feet together, braglaim smudot, and you don't answer Baruch Hu Shemo, that's a minig agro, it's a hefsek in the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, I'm not knowing like that, I take parts of it and not the other part, but tvei dinim, these are two concepts. One concept is tefillah b'tzibur, individuals who are davening together, 1,000 individuals, Shemoneh Esrei belachash, and then you have, of course, Chazar Sashatz, which is the tzibur as one entity. So the rush that we just read on the previous Amud, in effect, indicates we're striving to Kaparas HaTzibur on Yom Kippur. So, of course, that can only be achieved, that Kaparas HaTzibur, the Rosh says, if we are willing, in effect, to overlook our petty grievances, our quarrels, and find in our hearts the ability to forgive, find in our hearts the ability to forget, and Mechila can be accomplished all year. But Pius and Ritzi are intended to bring Klal Yisrael to that point where we become a Tzibur, a Tzibur that's joined together in a single unit, so we can achieve kaparas hatzibur that's necessary in Erev Yom Kippur. In other words, it's not just forgiveness for a particular chet, for a particular transgression, but to repair a fractured relationship, to transform an enemy into a friend. The words of the Paitan are really amazing. In this avoda that we just read a moment ago, a day of implanting simas ava v'reis, yom azivas kina v'tachrus, forsaking jealousy, forsaking competition, and this ambience is a function of the pious and mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur. So one has to use every possible method, including the presence of close friends, in order to achieve this kaparas hatzibur, and that's why the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva expatiates at great length on different methodologies in order to achieve this kind of end. It's interesting that the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos, he speaks of Tzom Kippur. There's a piyut that actually, that most people don't say piyutim, unfortunately, but those who do say, Abul Azhar Kalir has a fair number of piyutim on Yom Kippur. Nechoshev kitzog b'isom, dechos b'filuli akalosom, v'nagdishoch b'tzom ha'osar kadosh. It's one of the kadoshes that we say in Shachris of Yom Kippur. So there are a number of names for Yom Kippur, but one is called Tzom. Tzom Kippur. That's how the Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos, on the Mishnah Yuma, the Rambam calls it Tzom Kippur. What is that Lashon of Tzom? What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik thought it's related to a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where the pasuk says, Hinoch Yofa Rayosi, Hinoch Yofa, Einayich Yonim Mibad Tzamasech. The word mitzama in Hebrew, Mem Tzadik Mem Hei, refers to braids. It's like Gemara and Shabbos, a discussion of Shulchan Aruch among the poskim. If a person wants to go ahead and plate, P-L-A-I-T, braids together, so Yoyver and Beinen. And Chazal actually connected to the Pesuk in the beginning of Bereishis, but whatever the case is, we see individual strands of hair are gathered together and plated into a single entity, the result is a braid. There's a famous Gemara, where the Gemara says in Krisos, we say it actually on Yom Kippur night. Who are these avayonim? So Chazal said, the Gemara says, Kol tiny sheimba mipoisha yisrael ena tainis. That's the Gemara in Krisos, a famous Gemara, where the Gemara actually, I think it's a davov, but the Gemara indicates that anyone, any tainis that does not include poisha yisrael, a poisha generally is one who essentially does chatoyim b'mezid, b'mered. So on Kol Dibrei Nai, what do we say? Onomatirim lispalim ha'avayonim. That we actually want to make sure that every member of Klal Yisrael is present. Every member of Klal Yisrael means all the strands of hair are plaited together. We are a tzibur, an aggregate, a sachakol of many, many different individuals who come together, even the Peshe Yisrael. As the Gemara has actually, in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayim, when the Gemara speaks about Peshe Yisrael begufan, kakafta l'manach tefillin. That's why Chabadnikim try very hard to make sure everyone puts on tefillin at least once. They shouldn't be in the gather of a kakafta, Tefillin have a certain level of kedusha. Give a person eita yisav a sifara. The way the Rishonim write, the Rambam, interestingly enough, someone mentioned to me this Rambam the other day in Hilchos Taniyos. The Rambam has that many svadim are noyig like this. They're noyig actually that on Tisha B'Av they only put on tefillin shayat, not tefillin shalrosh, because the pasuk says hishlech m'shamayim eres tiferes yisrael eita yisav a sifara refers to tefillin shalrosh, and that is what the Rivan Shalom cast aside dafka. The pasuk in Megillah Seicha, Hishlech Mishamayim Beres Tiferes Yisrael. The Rabbi Tam writes at the end of Masechet Brachos when he discusses the two brachos that one makes. That's a whole discussion. Suya Menachos Soch Bein Tefillah LeTefillah. One person has to make two brachos, one bracha. But there, the idea of that the tefillin shorosh are a kind of diadem, a kind of keser around one's head. Someone just asked me the other day regarding Rosh Chodesh, why is it that we take off our tefillin before Shemoneh Esrei and Musaf? And the answer is because of you, keser yidul Hashem Elokeinu. Since we're putting a keser on Hashem Yisbarach, we cannot wear a keser at the same time. It would be a stiru of Neubei. How could we wear a keser, wear a crown, when coronating Hashem Yisbarach at the same time? I, Ashkenazim, don't say keser, loy plug. And that Sfaradi fellow told me, that's why Sfaradim are always right. Anyway, Bekitzer, the idea of Tzom Kippur, Tzom from Lashon Mitzamah, that means that we're going ahead and taking strands of hair, plaiting them together, and that's exactly what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve a kaparas hasivur. It means on Yom Kippur night, basically, this is what Yom Kippur night, Yom Kippur day are all about. All of Klal Yisrael has to join together in love and friendship. And that's possible only if, in addition to asking for mechila for ourselves, we take part in pius and ritzi as well. And that's why the idea of tzom, that's why the Rambam uses in Pirush HaMishnayos, the lashon of tzom, lashon mitzamah, that we're trying to integrate all the various strands of Klal Yisrael and achieve kaparas hasivur. Let's just be Messiah with the Gemara, which is also a well-known Gemara. And number 12, the Gemara tells us, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, she'eshem shamayim misayi val yodecha. That a person should always try in his own personal life and the communal life to achieve this level of Avas Hashem. She'ekore v'shone u'meshamesh tamine chachomim v'eimaso matonu benachas imabrios. That even when one has engagement with other people, it should be benachas. Ma brios omos alav, ashrei avav shelimdo Torah. Happy is the father of that person who taught him Torah. Ashrei rabo shelimdo Torah. Oilem la brios shelolam du Torah. Look at people who are involved in the study of Torah. They are models, they are paragons of virtue. They're models of yashrus, they're models of abba, they're models of simcha. Ploni shelimdo Torah, ru kama noim drachel kama besukonim maso. All of our kosev omer, someone who is the antithesis, he's not honest, he doesn't speak nicely, appropriately to other people, a person who is a Ben Torah, a Talmud Chacham, every single Jew has the ability to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim by their behavior, Ben-Am Mechavero, Ben-Am Nabokam. But unquestionably, that in the context of the two Mishnayos that we mentioned, and the two Rambams that we mentioned, the concept of Mechila, and the concept of Ritzri and Pius, are completely and totally the order of the day. That's what we have to work on, starting immediately, before Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, during Aseret Metzuvah. Soloveitchik quoted from his grandfather, Rav Chaim Briske, that they contended that there are 10 prokim, and my minhag actually is to learn a perek a day of Aseret Metzuvah, the first two prokim on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Soloveitchik even connected. He tried to connect each day to one perek. Unquestionably, Perek Yud that talks about Avas Hashem, that's what Yom Kippur is all about. There's Hagoyin of Shraga Kalas, Shlita spoke earlier about, namely the Yom Kippur is a Moli Simcha. Rav Soloveitchik once spent about 9 hours examining the piyutim of Yom Kippur. They are Moli Begod of Simcha, every single piyut. And he mentioned the contrast between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, but there's a contrast between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a very somber day. I'll also add to what he mentioned, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Poskim, Magad Avraham, and others. There are three types of Begodim that Chazal have. There's Big Day Chol, Big Day Shabbos. The Gemara says in Kol Kisve, the Gemara points out that Big Day Shabbos have to be markedly different than Big Day Chol. The Gemara speaks about a person who only has a toga. That's what they have, Bizman Chazal, Yishal Shel Begodim. The Begodim have to be moved on. They have to be completely separate, set apart from the Begodim we wear during the week. But then there's Big Day Chag, Big Day Yom Tiv, that those are Big Day Meshi. Garments of silk, says Mishnah Berurah, quotes from Magen Avraham. We don't wear Big Day Meshi on Rosh Hashanah because it has a somber kind of quality to it. It's a Yom Adin. It's a Yom B'Pachat. The Ramban writes in Emma, the Ramban writes in his Drasha to Rosh Hashanah, which Rav Soloveitchik spent about 3-4 days learning. And that Drasha to Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban comments, he says in an Emma in a briefer kind of way, there he points out, Rosh Hashanah is Yom Din Berachamim. It's essentially Yom Adin, but it's tempered with other mitzvah rachamim. You look at the entire tefillos, Rosh Hashanah, Ben Asfaradim and Ashkenazim. Rav Soloveitchik examined the Sfaradi machzor and the Ashkenazi machzor, and you see the same thing. Mashenken Yom Kippur is Pumfakir, just the opposite. Ramban calls it Yom Rachamim Badin, essentially a day of Rachamim that is surrounded by elements of Din, but it's Moli Simcha. The whole day is undergirded by the sense of joy of being able to appear before Hashem Yisbarach. And the Kasha that Rabbi Kalis mentioned that we could speak about for 100 hours, Rabbi Sol Salante asked that Kasha, namely why Rosh Hashanah precedes Yom Kippur, should be Pumfakir. There's a lot to say about that. Many Mahalchim to Miyashir that Kasha. He was Miyashir in one way, there are other Mahalchim as well. But what lies in the very fundamental grounding of what this is all about, certainly Mechila, but now we have to move even towards the area of Pius and Ritzui, Halavai, we should be Zoche, to be Meratzeh, to be Mefayes, to be able to live with each other, B'Shalom, B'Shalva, Ki'ir Hashem is Barach, and in that vein, that spirit, Rebbe Shalom will grant us all, B'Shnas Chaim, B'Shalom, that Rebbe Shalom should bring us only Bracha, we should end with all the Klalos, as the Gemara says, and we should begin the new year, Mis Hashem, with Shefa, Bracha, V'Atzlacha, for all of Klal Yisrael, Amen, V'Amen.